Let's just seek the Lord, please, in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come to thee today. Thank the Lord for your mercy and goodness that finds us here. We ask, O God, that you be pleased to be with us. Presence thyself with us, Lord, amongst us today. And Lord, we pray that we might know that the Lord is here and that to bless us here and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 7. Hymn number 7, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's come before the Lord again, please, in prayer. We still our hearts, seek his face as we come to worship him today. Eternal God and our Father, we come into thy presence. Lord, we come to give thee the glory and the praise, Lord, that is due alone to thy great name. We thank thee, Lord, today for the mercies of God that finds us in the house of God this morning. We thank the Lord for watching over us. We thank the Lord for your mercy and your goodness. Lord, that has been our portion. Lord, that has been our experience. Or right until this very moment. We thank you, Lord, for ever your protecting and guiding and, Lord, preserving hand that has been upon us. We thank you, Lord, today that we are here to worship thee. Lord, we thank thee today that we have this joy, this privilege, Lord, to assemble ourselves together, Lord, in this public fashion to worship our true and our living God. And our Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to come by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, presence thyself with us today, we pray. Lord, we invite thee. Lord, we plead, Lord, that you might be here today. Lord, we, Lord, can go through the rituals, the motions, Lord, of a service of worship. But Lord, if you're not here, then it would all be in vain. Yet, O God, we thank thee that we can claim the promise of God that where the two or three are gathered in thy name, there thou art in the midst. And Lord, we claim that promise today. Come, O God, we pray. Move amongst us. We ask of thee. And Lord, may we be very conscious that God is here. Lord, we pray for that listening ear, Lord, that understanding heart. Lord, to take in, Lord, to do what God the Lord would say to us. O God, we pray that you'll come. And Lord, move amongst us, we pray. May we, Lord, be like John, who was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Father, we pray you'll bless the word that's gone forth already to the boys and girls, to the young people. Lord, speak on to their young hearts, we pray. We claim them each one for thee. And O God, we pray that we might know, Lord, and see, Lord, the hand of God in their lives. Lord, bless those that are saved. Lord, lead them on with thyself. Lord, for those that are not yet saved, may they come to faith in Jesus Christ early in life, we pray. Remember our children. We thank you, Lord, for the little ones you've given to us here. Lord, just watch over their young lives, we pray. And Lord, that early in life they'll come, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember our young people, Lord, just put your arms around them, we pray. Protect them, O God, guide them. Keep them safe, Lord, from all the fiery darts of the devil. And Heavenly Father, we pray that they might know the protecting and preserving hand of the Lord. We pray, Lord, for that, for all of us today who know and love thee. Lord, we realize, Lord, the devil is out to trip us up. The devil is out to attack. The devil is out to bring us down at every opportunity. But, O God, we thank thee today that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And so, our Father, we pray you'll be pleased to come. Give us the victory over sin, Lord, over the flesh, over the world. And, O God, we pray that through it all, the name of our Savior would be glorified even through our lives. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember this area, remember this community. O God, we cry unto thee for that move of God, the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, you be pleased, Lord, to come. And, Lord, drive back, Lord, the forces of hell. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you be pleased to save the lost, Lord, around this area of Ballyhackamore. Lord, we pray for this entire part of the city of Belfast. Come, O God, we pray. Lord, move up and down the streets and the roads, Lord, around this church, we pray. And Lord, may there be that sound of abundance of rain. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today, Lord, that we have the promise, Lord, that this is thy church. And you've said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, therefore, build the church of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we pray you'll save the lost. Lord, take sinners, Lord, out of that broad way that leads, Lord, to everlasting destruction, and plant their feet upon that narrow way that leads to heaven and to home. Remember all who are serving thee today, all who are preaching the gospel of Christ. Encourage them, we pray. Lord, bless across our land and across our nation. And Lord, we pray for every nation of this world. Remember, Lord, those who are being persecuted, Lord, for their faith today. We ask, O God, that you would be pleased to strengthen them and encourage them. Stand with them, O God, we pray. Remember the underground church, Lord, those not able, Lord, to meet publicly such as we are. Lord, we pray you'll strengthen their faith. And Lord, we pray you'll overthrow those plans of evil and wicked rulers. O God, we pray. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember the situation there in the Middle East. O Lord, grant thy peace. O God, we pray. Lord, we pray that all might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Messiah, the only Savior of sinners, we pray. And so, Lord, be with us. Continue your blessing upon us just now. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us today, Lord, those who are unwell in their own homes, Lord, those no longer able to join with us as once they did because, Lord, of infirmity of the body, just draw near to them. Strengthen them, O God, we pray. And Lord, in thy will, Lord, may we see them out again in the house of the Lord. Remember those in hospital today. Remember Richard especially. Just draw very near to him, we pray. Strengthen him, Lord, at this time. We ask of thee and Helen, Lord, and all the family. And O God, we pray that each one will know the nearness and the goodness of God in their lives. Remember, Lord, all those who are continuing to feel the loss of loved ones, continuing to grieve, Lord, over those that are no longer with them. O God, we pray that thy peace will be their experience at this time. And so, our Father, we commit our way to thee. Bless us, we pray. Continue, Lord, with us just now. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You have a copy of the Word of God. We're turning to the Old Testament this morning, please. the Old Testament book of Ezekiel and the chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to read the first 15 verses of this chapter together, please. Ezekiel chapter 36. We'll read from the verse number 1. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 1. And let's take time to hear the reading of the Word of God. Remember, as we read, just as much as in the preaching, we are worshiping the Lord. And so let's give attention to the Word as it is read. Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 1 also, "Thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, Aha, even in the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up in every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills and to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land in their possession, with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, Thus saith the Lord God, because I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen, therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, Thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. And we pray God will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Can I welcome you warmly, sincerely, in the Savior's name today? And we thank you for your presence amongst us and with us here in the house of the Lord. And to those who are visiting with us, we always welcome visitors. We're glad to have you. Pray the Lord will bless you as you meet with us today. But to all, welcome in the Savior's great name. And also to those who are watching online today, we welcome you as well. Do remember, we have our Sunday school over in Redburn this afternoon at 2:30. And then we come back here for our gospel meeting at 6:30 this evening. We'd love you to join with us for that gospel service tonight, 6:30, preceded by the season of prayer at 6 p.m. And our brother Johnny Logan will be along to sing this evening. Tuesday night, our Explorers Bible Club, 6:30, and then our prayer meeting following that at 8 p.m. on Tuesday night. On Friday night, Youth Fellowship will meet here, and our brother Joel will be speaking Youth Fellowship this Friday night, and also this being the final Friday night of the month will be the men's monthly prayer meeting. Then on Saturday, those of that certain age bracket, this is your seniors' Christmas fellowship over in the Jubilee Complex at the Martyrs. If you could be there for just before 12, so we can get started at 12. Our brother Reverend Greenfield will be along to sing and to tell a few yarns as well, doubtless, and then we'll have something to eat. So I trust that you'll be able to come. If you've got your name down, then please do make every effort to come. Those who are helping, if we could ask you to be there a little earlier, at 10:45, just to get things set up and to get the tables prepared. But we're looking forward to our fellowship time this Saturday over in the Martyrs from 12 o'clock to 2. Then next Lord's Day, at 10:15, we have our Sunday school and Bible class, morning worship at 11:30, and our gospel service at 6:30. And of course, don't forget our Sunday school in Redburn at 2:30 as well. I'll be here to preach, God willing, at both of the meetings, and our brother Nigel Davidson will be here in the will of the Lord to sing next Sunday night. Then, in a few weeks' time, remember there is a special memorial service for the late Dr. Bill Woods, who you know passed away just a week or so ago now. And there is a special memorial service being held to pay tribute to him and to mark his life and work. And that has been held in our Martyrs Church on Sunday, the 3rd of December at 3:30 p.m. That's open to everybody, and you'll be more than welcome to join in that special memorial service to Dr. Bill Woods. We were honored to have him at our barbecue this past year and to listen to his life story again, a story you will never grow tired of listening to. Now he is joined with the angels in glory, singing that song that even the angels cannot sing. And we remember him fondly, and we thank God for his servant, for the work that he has accomplished throughout his life. And so there is this memorial service Sunday, the 3rd of December at 3:30 in the Martyrs Church, and you are all invited. Paul has asked me to announce that those who are writing articles for the Herald, the next edition of the Herald, Sandown Herald, if you could get them to him as soon as possible, please. And that includes me, so I have to do that as well. So if you're writing an article for the next edition of the Herald, please get them to Paul as soon as possible. Our missionary council offering, the boxes last week, came to £349.50, and thank you for your giving to the Lord's work. Can I remind our members of session, Thursday the 30th of November, we'll have a meeting here at 7:30. That will be followed by a committee meeting at 8:15 on that same night, Thursday the 30th of November. Do continue to remember all who need our prayers at this time, those who are sick, those who are shut in, and those no longer able to join with us as once they did. Remember them at this time in the throne of grace. Remember especially our brother Richard Scott, still in hospital. And do pray for Richard and Helen, all the family. The Lord will draw very near to them at this time. Remember as well our students. It's that awful time of the year when they have to sit their exams. So their classes are finished now for this term, and they've a 3 or 4 week period of exams coming up now. So you remember them very much in your prayers, please, as they sit their exams. And in relation to our students, we have a word of congratulations to give to one of our own students, our brother Adam. Adam and Victoria have gone the way of all flesh and have got engaged and are getting married sometime next year. So we offer our congratulations to Adam and to Victoria, and pray the Lord will bless them as they make their plans together for the future. Do remember the offering boxes available there as you leave for your tithes and for your offerings. So make all of these announcements, as always, subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn at this stage. Hymn not in our hymn book, but one we have sung before often in the past. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. This is a hymn written many years ago. Tremendous truths brought to a new tune, that Christ will hold us fast, even at times when we feel like we're falling. Yet a wonderful truth to know, that the Lord will hold us fast. fast. We'll stand together to sing this hymn, please. As you sing those words, remember, the Lord will hold you fast. You're struggling today, perhaps going through a hard and a very difficult time. Remember, the Lord will hold you firmly, and hold you fastly in His hand. We're turning back to the book of Ezekiel, please, and the chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. With the Word of God open before us, can we just still our hearts, please, before Him and ask for His help as we come to His Word for this morning. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for the praising of Thy name through song. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can lift our hearts to thank Thee and to praise Thee, Lord, for each one that's saved, Lord, that You've kept us, and Lord, that You'll hold us. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we're not depending on anything we have or anything we can do. We praise You, O God, today that we're depending on the strength of the Lord. Lord, we thank Thee today that You have given unto us eternal life. We shall never perish. And, O God, we pray that that truth, Lord, will reign into our hearts, we pray. Bless us now as we come to the Word of God. Bless us, O God, we pray, as we, Lord, would consider Thy Word. O God, we pray for help from heaven. Lord, I need Thee today. Lord, fill me with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me to preach, Lord, as I ought to preach. Lord, we pray that you'd be pleased to remove every obstacle, remove every hindrance. And, oh God, we pray that we might know, Lord, that help from heaven. Lord, bless in the hearing. Lord, bless in the understanding. Bless in the doing of the word of God today, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray thy name would be glorified through everything that would be said and done. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us and give us help now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to take a little time just to pay tribute to this congregation for your faithfulness and for your steadfastness over the past 10 years. 10 years ago, I and my family came to this church believing and knowing it to be in the will of God. As a family, we came here because God has called us here. And the manner in which we very quickly grew to love and see this congregation as part of our own family testify to the will and to the providence of God in our lives and in your lives as well. My first few years as your minister were certainly years of proving the grace of God, because some of the finest of God's people in this congregation were sadly taken from us and promoted to glory. Those were tough years, because it was during those times of sickness and illness when we got to know each one of them and their families in a very special way. And they are sadly no longer with us today. Their seats are empty, and we all miss them still. Yet the Lord was pleased to add others to us. While being with those who are dying is particularly difficult, yet also sitting with those who have given their lives to the Lord in salvation is a very special privilege. And we thank God for those who've been added to our church, those who've been saved, those who've shown very evident signs of growth and grace. For this, we give all the glory to God alone. These past 10 years, of course, haven't been without their difficulties. A time of division and departures and disappointments. Within a church fellowship is always very hard and always very difficult. Times, if I'm honest, I would never want to go through again. But the Lord has brought us all through. And I believe firmly that the Lord has brought us closer together as a church fellowship. And the friendship that exists here is something that we ought to guard and ought to protect. It is something that as I listen, as I talk to those who come and visit with us, those who come to take part, they speak about the friendship and the fellowship that there is in this church, and that brings joy to my heart. Can I encourage you? Keep welcoming people. Keep welcoming others. Just take a moment. Go over. If you see someone that hasn't been in for some time or at any time, you go and welcome them, and you make them welcome. Throughout the past 10 years, I have sought to be faithful to my calling and to the Lord. I know I have made mistakes. I know I would do things differently in the future. But I want to thank you all for putting up with me and for your encouragement, prayerful and practical, and your support over these 10 years, not only to me, but to Rachel and to our family. So 10 years of my ministry here have now been completed. But what then for the future? And as I thought about this, as I considered what I would speak on, many passages of Scripture came to my mind regarding this. What about the future? And the Lord very clearly imprinted upon me the words of Ezekiel chapter 36. And it is there that I want us to turn this morning, as I saw the word not from myself to this congregation, but as I thought and sought for a word from the Lord for this congregation and for us all. As we look to the future, What is it that the Lord would have us to know? What is it that the Lord wants us to know as we look ahead into the future? And there are three things that I want us to notice as we consider a sermon for Sandown this morning. First of all, I want us to see in these verses that there is our encouragement for the future. There is this, our encouragement for the future. As I looked at this passage, I was struck especially with those words of verse number 9. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 9, where the Lord says, "For behold, I am for you." As Ezekiel wrote these words, he did so against the backdrop of a time of judgment in the nation. The Lord was writing here to a people in Ezekiel's day who are in bondage. They're in captivity, and almost hope is almost gone. Yet he comes with this word of encouragement. He comes with this word of help, and he comes with this word of hope, a word in season. And in verse number 9, he says, "Behold, I am for you." The Lord always has the right word at the right time. And here was a word for the people in Ezekiel's day. And I want us to take this word, and I want us to have this word as our word for today. Our encouragement for the future is that the Lord is for us. As we think about this encouragement, I want us to notice, first of all, there are acceptance. Here was the Lord coming to these people and saying to them, "You're accepted before me. I am for you." And in God's acceptance of us, there's our only assurance. You see, their captors were against them. Many were against them. And yet the Lord says, "I'm for you." And as we seek to go forward in the cause of Christ and in the work of God here, there will always be those who will be against us. There will always be those who will speak ill against us. But God comes and God says, "I'm for you." And he's speaking collectively to his people. You know, I've listened to people over the past number of years who've told me, and I'm sure perhaps have told you as well, that Sandown is finished as a congregation, who have told us that this congregation has no future. I have received letters, I have received emails along those same lines that we're finished. But thank the Lord today, the Lord comes with his word of encouragement to us and says, "I am for you." Here we see the language of the covenant. God entering into a covenant, that covenant of grace, that covenant whereby he says, "I will be their God and ye shall be my people." Here is God reminding his people that we belong to him. And it is this basis that will encourage us and will motivate us in the days that are ahead. As we think about our acceptance and this encouragement, we also see our assurance. These were times of chastisement when the Lord was writing here. These were times when the Lord was rebuking the people for their sins, and we all know our own faults, we all know our own failures. Yet even in the Lord's rebuking of us, he is still for us. He is still for his people. What a word of encouragement today for the doubting saint. What a word of encouragement today for the discouraged saint or the despairing saint. God is for you today. The old devil might be coming to you today and having a field day in your mind. The old devil might be coming to you and reminding you of those times you've tripped up, those times you've failed in your Christian life, those times you've let the Lord down. And the devil's coming to you and he's saying, "You're finished. No more service, no more work, nothing that you can do now for the Lord." Well, the devil's a liar. always has been and always will be. Listen to the promise of the Lord when He comes and He says to you, I'm for you. I'm for you. And maybe God has to whisper into your ear this morning, or maybe even has to shout into your ear and say, I'm for you, child of God. You're mine. You belong to me. I gave my life to ransom you, to redeem you. Let those words sink into your head today. God is for us. Because listen, if God wasn't for us, we would be in an altogether different state. If God wasn't for us, we would have something to worry about, something to fret about, something to be concerned about. God is for His people. Yes, God is against the sinner. Without Christ, if you're sitting in this meeting today without the Savior, under the wrath of God, God is against you. God's against sin. God is against the sinner. What a fearful situation to be in. And oh, that you would see that situation today. And oh, that you would run to Jesus Christ and be saved. Yet what a reality, what a truth today to know each one that's saved, I'm the Lord's. You're His today. You belong to Him. All hell and others may rise against you, throw their slanders and sling their dirt, but God is for you. God is for His people. And so God comes to remind and to reassure His people. He's for you. He's for you. And thank God today that we who are saved were accepted in God through Christ. The atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that's the solid ground of our acceptance and our assurance. It's in Christ. We're not for the Lord, or the Lord is not for us because we're any better than anybody else. We're not. But we are for the Lord because He has redeemed us, He has ransomed us, He has saved us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and whom the Lord saves, them He will also keep. Thank God today, as we were singing, through all the storms, and through all the sorrows, and through all the sickness, and through all the sadness, the Lord will hold us. Why? Because He is for us. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to allow you to wander aimless. And even though today, perhaps in your mind and in your life, things are all over the place, and you can't even think straight, and you wonder what's going on, and life's hard, life's tough, remember this. The Lord is for you. He is that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He is that one that will never leave you. He is that one that will hold you and the one that will keep you. What an encouragement for us individually that the Lord is for us. The world and others may be against us, but what a thrill it is to know that the Lord is for us. And as a congregation, as we seek to go forward, and as we seek to go onward in the years that lie ahead in His will, we do so knowing that He is for us. This is His church. We are His people. You are not my congregation. We are the people of God. This is not my church or somebody else's church. This is God's church. This is His church for whom He bled and for whom He died. And He says, I am for you. So that's our encouragement for the future, that the Lord is for us. And remember that whatever we have to face up ahead, we face it with this truth. The Lord is for me. Child of God, today, whatever it is you have to face in this week that lies ahead, remember the Lord's for you. And the Lord has planned out your entire life. The Lord has worked every aspect and every part of your life out entirely, and He's done it perfectly because He is for you. That's our encouragement for the future. But I want us to see not only our encouragement for the future, but I want us to notice, secondly, then, our enablement for the future. Because look what verse 9 goes on to say, I am for you, and I will turn unto you. As these people faced the future days, they did so with this promise of the Lord, this promise of enablement, this promise of empowerment, I will turn to you. As we face the days ahead as a congregation, what is it that we need? What is it that we need more than anything else? We need the Lord to turn to us. We need Him to visit us. We need the Lord to come in power upon our lives and to revive us and to bring us into that large place with Him. We need the Lord just as much now as we have ever done. We need the Lord to turn to us. We need the Lord in His mercy and in His power to enable us and to empower us as we seek to go forward in the work of God. You see, we should never be content with where we are. We should never be calm at ease in Zion. Thank God for the blessings of the past. But we must look ahead and we must pray ahead for greater blessings in the future. And I long to see the Lord at work in a greater blessing and in a greater way in our congregation in the future. I long for the Lord to come in revival, power, and blessing. I long for the Lord to turn us again. I long for the Lord to work in my heart, to move in my life, to stir me up. I long for the Lord to take us out of the rut that we're in and to bring us into that great place of blessing. And as we do so, as we long for that, we realize there's going to be a work done, because in verse 9 he says, ye shall be tilled and so on. As I've said, we should never become at ease where we are. We should never become complacent. We should see that there's a work that needs to be done in our heart and in our life every day. It's all about an activity there. You see, there has to be a work done in us before the Lord will do a work through us. There has to be that melting and that breaking of our hearts before God. There has to be that awareness of our need of God's presence. There has to be that awareness of our need of God's power. We need the Lord to turn to us again. There is no substitute for the presence of God. There is no substitute for the power of God. We thank God for the mercy drops, but we long for the showers. We can do without a lot of things in our lives. We can do without a lot of things even in our church. But here's one thing we can never do without, and that is the presence and the power of the Lord. The psalmist pleaded, turn us again, O God, cause thy face to shine upon us. Turn us, and in turning us, then turn unto us. That's revival. That's the moving of God. That's the Spirit of God taking a hold of His people, taking a hold of His church, and doing some great thing in our land and in our nation. Moses, as he led the children of Israel, said to him, I will not go up in the midst of thee. And the Lord said to him, I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people. And as Moses heard that word from the Lord, and as he contemplated the task that lay ahead of him, that going forward without the presence of the Lord, it bothered him. It caused him great trouble. And he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. He couldn't go on in the work and in the service for the Lord if the Lord wasn't with him. Oh God, give us all that greater sense of the need that we have for him to work. God, give us all that greater sense of the need of God to come in revival power. And revival doesn't start outside in the streets or the roads around the church. Revival starts in the church. It starts in the people of God. And I long that revival would start in my own heart. May God grant us that desire. May God grant us that longing. We need the Lord to turn to us. But here's the promise as we pray and as we plead. The promise is, I will turn on to you. And thank God today, he isn't finished with his church. He isn't finished with the cause of Christ. He isn't finished with his kingdom. He's not building his kingdom down. He's building his kingdom up. You read through those verses, as I did this past week. This gives us great motivation. Although we live in a dark day when things are hard and little want to know about the things of God, and we think God isn't working, yet God says, I will turn. As I've said before, what's the point in praying? What's the point in working if we believe it's all over? What's the point in doing anything if we believe that it's all coming to an end very soon and it's just going to be, the church is going to be obliterated? What's the point? Well, if I thank God today, and I believe in a God of revival, I believe in a God who worked in the past, can work in the future. I believe that God, who did great things for us in the past, can still do greater things for us in the future. And it will be done by his enabling and his empowering. I will turn to you. Let me ask you this morning, are you a candidate for the blessing of God? Do you long for the blessing of God in your life? Maybe you've got into a rut in your Christian life, just got into this old routine, just going through the motions, turning up, going away, turning up, going away, and there's nothing of reality in your life. May God make us those candidates for his blessing. Are we prepared for revival? The hymn writer said, make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Is that what you pray for? Are you ready for the blessing of God? As we face the future, may we do so with this assurance that the Lord is for us, yes, but also with this heartfelt appeal, Lord, turn to us, with this confidence when he says, I will turn to you. Thank God today. His work is going forward. His work is going onward. And may we believe God and look to God for the future. That brings us then to not only consider our encouragement for the future, it brings us to consider our enablement for the future, but it also brings us to consider our expectation for the future. As I've said, the Lord turns, and when the Lord turns, he will do something. And when the Lord turns in revival, people will know about it. We'll see God at work. And this is our expectation for the future. Because look what he says in verse 10. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded. right on down there in those next few verses. What's he doing there? He's moving and he's turning in revival. That's what we must expect. That's what we must believe for. That's what we long for. The Lord coming to the people and saying, I will build again. I'll restore. In other words, don't despair. Oh, don't give up hope. Things may be dark and things may be bleak, but hold on. I'll turn to you and I will do something for you. Remember who said this. This was not Ezekiel. This was the God of Ezekiel. This was the God who is the head of his church. This is the one who says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As we look at our expectation for the future, in verse 10 we see that there is to be a populating of the work. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. There were going to be a populating, an occupying of the work. He was going to put people into his work. Literally and spiritually, we would see, they would see that people, the church populated, the church increase. And we long for that. We long to see the pews populated. We long to see the church filled. That's what we must pray for. That's what we must believe. Long to see people from this area. Long to see those hearts who are hard and hostile to the gospel. Long to see them brought into the church, saved, go on with the Lord. There was to be a populating of the work. But also they were to expect a prospering in the work. Verse 11, and I will multiply upon you man and beast. They shall increase and bring forth fruit. There's the prospering. There's the going forward. Prospering in the house of God. Next year marks the 60th anniversary of the formation of this congregation. And as a session, we've been planning now for some time various ways in which we can mark that significant anniversary. But you know one thing we ought to long for and pray for more than anything else? Is that we would see God advance and prosper his work. Look at the end of verse 11. This struck me. And will do better unto you than at your beginnings. Will do better unto you than at your beginnings. We pray for new converts. We thank God for those that have been saved in recent times. We thank God for those that are going on with God. We thank the Lord for those who are advancing and going forward in their Christian life. But we pray for more. The Lord says, I'll do better unto you than at your beginnings. May God give us to see that reality in our lives and in our church. And we must pray as we do pray, but pray believing. Take these words and give them back to God and say, Lord, you said you're going to do better than at our beginnings. Lord, do it. Prove God. Stand on the promises of God. There's someone you've been praying for, someone in your family, some friend that you've been praying for. You've been longing to see them saved and they're not yet saved. You take this promise and say, Lord, you have said you would do it, now do it. And don't give up until he does it. I've said before that the Church of Christ is very much in the doldrums today, in a state spiritually depressed today. Oh God, deliver us from the doldrums. And God, deliver us and see His power working in us and working through us. There was also a progressing in the work. Verse 11, I will settle you after your old estates and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance. There was a going forward. There was a progressing. They were going to possess the land. This morning, as we bring our message to a conclusion, as we face the future as a congregation, and face into the months and years that lie ahead in the will of God, I fully understand that there will be more difficulties to face. There'll be more dark days to go through. But we must make progress through them. We must go through them. We must labor on. And I say again, thank you for your faithfulness and thank you for your commitment. Your commitment in this place of worship, it means the world to this pastor. This is where God has you. Therefore, in this place, may you see God work through you. As we face the future, I encourage you to stay committed. Stay focused. Stay steadfast. Seek to do what you can. And maybe today you say, I can't do what I used to do. I can't do what I'd want to do. But you know what? You mightn't be able to walk around the streets and give out gospel tracts, but you can get on your knees before God and pray. And seek God like never before. And pray believing. Pray for believing. As we thank God for the last 10 years, and for now almost the past 60 years of a witness here on the Sandown Road, it's not so much about looking backwards. It's about looking forwards. It's about looking ahead to the Lord with greater blessings yet in store. With confidence that God is able to give us much more than this. To pray, to believe, and to expect that God can do for us exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our encouragement for the future, the Lord says, I'm for you. Our enablement for the future, the Lord says, I will turn to you. And our expectation for the future, the Lord says, I will multiply. Notice it's the Lord who does it all, because this is His work and this is His church. And I remind you, and I close with those words again, that I believe ought to be repeated more often throughout these days of spiritual despair in the Church of Christ. And the Lord says, I will build my church. And when you build something, you don't start at the top and work down. You start at the bottom and work up. And you have something far better at the end than you ever had at the start. Something far bigger, far more glorious. I believe that's the future for the Church of Jesus Christ. A glorious future, a glorious prospect. And as He builds His church, He says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Thank God. Today we're standing on the promises of God. We claim those promises. We take those promises. and we see God work in us and working in us, work through us. I want you to be encouraged as a congregation. But I also want you to be stirred and motivated that together we would see God work in us and then God work through us. A sermon for Sandown. I believe this is what the Lord would have to say to us all today. Let's